All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 143. This is Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we missed last week because, Chris, you were a little under the weather.
Yeah. Right?
But fear not, for we have treats for you all. Starting off with, I did not get to see this, but Chris, you went to the theater and you saw Thor Ragnarok.
I did. It is the 417th Marvel movie in the last 10 years. I don't know, it's something like that, right? Like, yeah. Third Thor movie. This stars Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston. Directed by, I'm probably going to butcher this, but Taika Waititi.
Yep.
It's a Marvel movie.
So it's not a Waititi.
No. I mean, not. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff. I've seen parts of What We Do in the Shadows, and I know you saw Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
No, this is very much a Marvel movie. Like, if you've seen any of the recent films, probably since Guardians of the Galaxy, it fits in very well there. It's more lighthearted than, you know, some of the other stuff. It's more fun than the other two Thor movies. It's the best Thor movie out of the three of those. I don't know. I kind of came away with, all right, that was okay. Like, it's okay.
You're starting to get the fatigue, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm burned out on them. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's perfectly enjoyable entertainment. But there's nothing special about it. And I think that's where Marvel has hit a wall, where these movies, when Iron Man came out, and then it built up to Avengers. Like, Avengers was an event movie. But you know, yeah. We can discuss, like, the quality of Avengers years on now. Like, maybe it's not as good as we maybe thought it was at the time, but these movies, they're all feeling very samey.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, every 3 months we get a 2-hour TV show.
Or 2-hour plus. I think this one's 2-hour plus as well, right?
Yeah, it's like 2 hours and 10 minutes. Like, Chris Hemsworth is, if they continue on with him, like, I know they're going to be making some major changes in the next like 2 or 3 years to the Marvel universe. But if Chris Hemsworth continues on, I think they should continue on with this type of approach, not like the brooding kind of moody Thor, but like this kind of, you know, Chris Hemsworth actually has some solid comedic timing.
Yeah.
And like, he was the best thing about the Ghostbusters movie last year. Well, in my mind, I thought it was the best piece of that.
It's a low bar.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not a great movie, but I thought he was like one of the high points of it. And he has, you know, he plays off of Tom Hiddleston very well here. He plays off of Tessa Thompson. Like, they all give good performances. Idris Elba, he kind of plays like the most serious role as Heimdall. But Jeff Goldblum is, you know, Jeff Goldbluming it up as the Grandmaster in this. He runs a kind of a gladiatorial pit on this trash planet. And Mark Ruffalo, he plays very well. Like, he's Bruce Banner in the Hulk. He plays very well with Chris Hemsworth. Like, they have a very good chemistry on screen that kind of works real well. But it's just, I don't know. Like, I was like, yeah, that's funny. That's a good line. That's good delivery. You can't really fault anything about it. It's a really great looking film. Like, the special effects are good. It's building towards whatever that next big Marvel conglomeration movie is, I guess, whatever the next Avengers film is. they're building towards that. It's just at the end of the day, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. I know there are a lot of people saying, like, oh, this is, like, the best Marvel movie in a while. Like,
they say that every time. That's,
yeah. I don't know. It's like when I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, yes, this is, you know, it was a nice change from where they have been going with the Marvel movies. But since Guardians, it seems like every single Marvel movie wants to kind of, you know, play, like, the comedy bit. And that's fine, because Thor needed something, because Thor was boring as hell up until now. But I don't know, they all feel exactly the goddamn same. Like, they're good, they're fine, but they're safe.
Yeah. I you know my opinion, I'm so sick of all of it. Like, it's just, I don't understand. I understand what's going on with, like, Hollywood right now. Like, these are the sure bets. These are the money makers. That's what Hollywood's going to invest in. And they're trying, like, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, they all feel the same to me, but they are trying to do, like, different genre pictures a little bit here and there, like with Ant-Man and stuff like that. But, yeah. Like, it's just, it's fucking depressing to me that, like, that's what the big movies are now. Like, the big, you know, your big effects, you know, popcorn movies are, like, all either, you know, Marvel or DC. And I guess you could give DC credit for being different than Marvel. Like, yeah, but they're trying to steer towards that direction.
They seem different in a, we don't know what the hell we're doing kind of way, right? Like, they have no consistency, whereas Marvel is really consistent. It's gotten to a point where it's
too consistent.
Yeah, it's like, all right, every 3 months we're going to get another big budget entry
of the same quality, of the same tone.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's like it almost feels like a continuing TV show or something at this point.
It's
like,
not bad, and I mean, it's just a little disappointing that this is what is dumb. Like, it's what the box office has become, right? Like, because when this one's done, when this one dies down, like, there'll be a new one to release. Well, I think it's like February is going to be a Black Panther.
Yeah. It's just, I guess to me, it's depressing that, one, it's depressing that these are the big budget. I wish the landscape of big budget, like, popcorn movies was a little bit wider than just superhero movies. Like,
yeah,
you used to get shit back in the day, like Jurassic Park or whatever. Now, granted, that's a franchise and they're doing more of those, but, like, you know what I mean? Just
right.
new things.
You got people taking risks, and now it seems like there's so much invested in this that risks are really, really dangerous, and companies aren't. And that's part of the problem, right? Is that the art behind all of this is held behind companies that are beholden to stockholders. And now, like, as the market contracts, like, there are fewer and fewer studios every year. So you end up with, like, Disney and Warner and Fox and Sony, like, they're the only ones really consistently putting out movies on a week-to-week basis. And their big stuff is going to be stuff that they know is going to hit.
And even, you know, sometimes the studios will put out a big movie that is a slight risk. Like, look at The Mummy from this year.
Right.
And it ended up not working out too. I mean, I guess they made their money, kind of, but it ended, like, Dark Universe, I guess, is over.
Yeah, which honestly, not a bad thing. Like,
I don't know. I would have
like the idea of it, but
I would have been cool with seeing, like, oh, let's do Bride of Frankenstein or whatever. Like, if they were good, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, like, but I don't know if I need, like, this interconnected.
No, I don't.
That's like, I yeah, like, that's where I don't necessarily need a Marvel universe for everything.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that for sure.
And it is a little bit, it's kind of a shame that DC is pushing that way too, and Warner's pushing that way, because we had those really good Batman movies. And you could have like a separate Superman movie, but now it's they want to combine everything, and what they've done is really just make a jumbled mess of all of it.
Yeah.
Like Wonder Woman was good. Like it's I personally think it's the best superhero movie this year, but
I was
well,
going
Logan.
to, well, what were you gonna say about Logan?
I mean, Logan's probably the best, but like Wonder Woman's right up there for me in a different way. But
Well, earlier in discussion, I was gonna bring up Wonder Woman. I rewatched that movie and I sold it short. The first time we reviewed it, I was kind of down on it. I said it was like a 3-star movie with a 5-star scene in the middle of it. I guess I kind of still feel that way, but
That 5-star scene is really fucking good.
it got me emotionally. Like I cried at it. So and it's just all it is someone doing the right thing, which I don't know. I guess I think we're kind of starved for that right now. Like the world's kind of messed up. So it really got to me, and I was like, and the movie in general is just a good time. Like I just don't. I'm kind of still down on the ending or whatever. Like, I wish they figured out something better than what they did, but overall, that movie is pretty fantastic. But and Logan is that's another one I think I sold a little short first time. That movie is just great.
But they feel different than everything else.
Yeah, like Logan, I don't even throw in that same pool, dude. Like that's like a straight up like modern Western,
Yeah, it just happens to star a
a
comic book
character from
character.
that,
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'll probably continue to see them. They're good. Like, to me, they're good enough to watch. But I really do think that, I'm gonna start picking and choosing which ones I go to see in the
Yeah,
theater, because
I've already been, I've been doing that for probably last year or two. I guess all that said, one, are you going to see Justice League?
I don't know. I want to, but also it's like this is gonna everything I've heard is like this is a worse movie than Batman vs Superman, which I am, an apologist for in some ways.
I mean,
But
you like it. Like, you
yeah, I
like it, right?
do.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
fine. Yeah.
But this seems like it's a mess of super proportions, and hearing that Matt Reeves does not want Ben Affleck for the Batman, like that it just DC has really kind of shit the bed on their stuff.
I heard, or I saw someone I know, they tweeted, "Make Gosling Batman." How would you feel about that?
He'd probably be fine. He's a little scrawny. I mean, he'd have to
I
beef up a
don't.
bit.
Does that matter? I guess he is like a martial arts dude,
Yeah.
like outside of, yeah.
Like he's built. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
and Affleck had to build up a bit for Batman, but so I mean, I suppose Gosling could do the same.
I think Affleck would have been a great Bruce Wayne. I don't think he's been very impressive in what I've seen him as Bruce
Yeah,
Wayne. It's
they
just,
haven't given him a whole lot to work with.
yeah. All right, back to Thor Ragnarok. Any final thoughts and a verdict?
It's fine. It's a fine movie. It's colorful. I will say this, excellent synth
Yes,
soundtrack to
that gets me a little excited about
it. It's a very colorful film.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall, just kind of don't give a shit. Like, it's fine. It's a 3-star film for me.
Okay.
I'm not upset that I went and saw it, but I also don't think I'll remember it, come, a month and a half from now when we're talking year end stuff, so.
Okay. I won't be seeing it in the theater, but I'm actually, despite everything you said, like the two things that you said that stood out to me, like that it's colorful and that it has a synth soundtrack, I'm pretty excited to see it on video when it comes out.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about it for year-end stuff, so I will just wait. All right, so Chris, I saw a new film. You might be able to find it in a theater. I don't know, but it is available everywhere on demand. And that is Brawl in Cell Block 99, directed by S. Craig Zahler and starring Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
All right, and S. Craig Zahler, his previous film was his debut film, which is Bone Tomahawk, which you've seen, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Bone Tomahawk was like this like slow Western that kind of explodes into graphic violence near the end. And it's kind of a like surprise horror film. If you liked that movie, I think you're in good hands here. Once again, this is a slow kind of crime drama that explodes in ultra graphic violence. So Vince Vaughn plays this guy who he gets fired from a job and he begins working as a drug courier, like so just picking up, dropping off packages, and makes a life out of it. He ends up in jail after a pickup goes wrong. And once he's in jail, he's forced to do things in order to save his wife's life. It takes a while for him to get to that. So it's about an hour before he gets into the jail. It's like I said, just like Bone Tomahawk, it's a slow build-up. It's never, like, not interesting. It's just the movie takes its time setting things up. This is an awesome movie. There's no sentiment. There's no sentimental bullshit. It's a guy who has to do what he has to do in order to save his wife's life. And, you know, he's going to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And once the violence does come, I mean, this is not a horror movie, but this is a movie I recommend to any horror fans. It's some of the most grisly, gory shit I've ever seen. Not exaggerating one bit, the shit that goes down in this jail. The film is called Brawl in Cell Block 99. You do get a brawl in Cell Block 99. Spoilers.
So that pays off on that side.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it lives up to its title.
Yeah, because I saw a trailer for it, and it's like, there's a lot of, like the trailer, a lot of it took place outside of...
Yeah, the trailer, I honestly think the trailer's not very good. And if you just watch the trailer, like, you think he's, like, this white supremacist guy. Like, that's what he looks like to me anyways. He's got a shaved head. He's got
cross. That's kind of how the poster for it feels, too. Like, it's a shot of him from the back with, like, a shaved head, cross on the back of his head.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that cross is, like it's a white supremacist symbol. I'm not a white supremacist. I don't know. But I just think it is. But it doesn't, like, that's not really part of it at all. Like, if he is racist, they make real no mention of it. There's a part where someone is using the N-word, and they're like, they say, should I end it with A or ER? And Vince Vaughn's character responds to that guy by saying, well, I don't think you're allowed to use that word at all. Like, he tells the guy. So it's like, if anything, he comes off as not racist. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Maybe he was at some point involved in shit like that. But, like, the movie is not concerned with that whatsoever. It's just a straight up, like, guy in a bad situation who has to do what he has to do. Once he's in the jail, you get to meet... Well, first off, he has to get himself to an ultra maximum security prison, and in order to do that, he has to figure out a way there, which I don't want to say too much, I guess. But once he ends up in this ultra security prison, the guy running the place is played by Don Johnson, who is just like chewing up scenery in this. He's really fun. It kind of has One of the things I've started to like about Westerns over the years is, like, the kind of flowery dialogue that they have.
Okay.
And this kind of has that, too, because he's Southern in it. Like, he's from the South. And Don Johnson also just, like, has kind of fun dialogue and stuff. I don't want to give, like, too much more away, except that, like, I mean, you can kind of see where it's going based on what I'm telling you. And, yeah, shit goes down at the end, and it's just... It's just pure fucking craziness. It's like a total guy's guy movie, I think. Although, when describing it to my friends, as soon as I brought up the violence, they're like, ew, no. I was like, okay. I thought you like action movies. I guess not. Like, it's a little slow for an action movie, like, the first hour or so. But, like, I'm telling you, like, the back half of this thing is, like...
Right, so there's a payoff, at least. Like,
yeah, like, this is not an artsy fartsy movie. This is a movie I would like wholeheartedly recommend to like coworkers, friends, people like, you know, just guys I know who are into like action movies and shit. I'm like, you got to see this. And also people into film as well. I think that this director is really like, he's on my radar now. Like I really like Bone Tomahawk. I like this one just as much, if not more. This is one of the best movies of the year for sure. I mean, if you're super against strong violence or having to wait for things to pay off, then maybe not, but otherwise highly recommend checking this out. It's well worth like the rental of whatever the $6-7 it is. So
okay.
It's a five.
Cool.
Chris, speaking of criminals.
Yeah.
You finished up a show that I have mostly forgotten by this point, Sons of Anarchy. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's been sitting on my Netflix queue for quite some time. I think I had watched up to through season six. I think there's seven seasons. Through season six, which is when Jax Teller's wife gets murdered. And that left a really sour taste in my mouth.
Absolutely, yeah. That show in general, the more it went on,
yeah, they're like, I mean, that like season three is a complete garbage pit. I think that's the one, yeah, where they go to
Ireland.
Ireland,
oh God,
like, makes zero fucking sense, and
you can't even understand what they're saying.
No. I mean, and there are good episodes throughout after that, but. I think there was a really good storyline with Ron Perlman.
Absolutely.
And how he ends up meeting his ultimate demise. But so this final season, most of it is Jack spent chasing down, like trying to get vengeance for Tara's death. And it's all like, 11 of those episodes are complete bullshit because it's all a lie. Yeah,
we all know what's going on. Like, in fact, if I remember correctly, he's kind of the only one that doesn't know what the fuck is going on. Right? Like, at least that's kind of how I remember it. Like,
yeah, I'm like, I don't think anybody like knows specifically that, you know, Gemma did it, that his mom was the actual killer, but. Everyone's kind of like, nah, I mean, this doesn't make any sense why the Chinese would do it.
And she's like spinning him out, right? Like she's like sending him on goose chases and shit, right?
Yeah. Like she actually like, she points out,
gets people killed and whatnot that,
oh yeah. And like all of like this whole lie spins out into like basically a goddamn gang war in Oakland. That makes zero fucking sense, and it's really fucking weird. And then, so all this time, like Gemma is slowly becoming crazy, and she's talking to like her birds, and she's like talking to Jax's baby, like the baby, and like kind of confessing that she killed Tara. Like she has a lot of guilt over that. And Jax's other son overhears it. And that's how like ultimately Jax finds out, like, cause Abel's like, it's you know, is Wendy being my real mom? Is that why grandma killed my other mom? It was like, what? Like, where the hell did this come from? It's so dumb. And then the last two episodes are just kind of spent tying up loose ends. Like, every possible loose end, like, in two and a half hours.
We could spoil it here, right? We're well past the dude. He fucking kills her, right?
Yes, he kills her.
He takes her out into, like, a garden or something.
Yeah, she ends up at her dad's house, and she asks to go out to the garden, and Jack shoots her in the back of the head. It's filmed as this, like, super emotional scene, and it's like, just fucking get it over with. Like, kill her, don't kill her, who cares? Like, by that point, I was just so, like, all right, where's this going? How's it going to end? Like, I just want to finish it. I'm there. I'm 90 episodes in.
Yeah.
I might as well watch out the final two. And
I think that's how I felt about it, man.
Yeah, it's like I just needed to get it off of my list. Like, and I have this thing where it's like I've already invested all this time into watching it. I need to see where the story ends, and it ends like very flatly. Like,
yeah, it is a little like the Daniel Mountain, like where he's riding off into the sunset, so to speak, is kind of lame, I think. But I don't know. It's
really dumb because it's like it's this like 10-minute long chase scene that's not really a chase scene. Like, it's just him driving and cops following behind him. Like, the cop line keeps getting deeper and deeper. It's like, why do they need 42 cop cars chasing after him? Like, yes, he fired a couple shots at the cop, but I don't know. I've seen some cop chases. I've never seen like 42 people chase one dude down a street. Like,
do they play some like Lynyrd Skynyrd over it, like fucking the end of Devil Rejects and shit? Do they really?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's not Lynyrd Skynyrd, but they definitely have like some sort of like a like kind of a classic rock vibe song over the entire, like, it's over like everything. Like, they keep jumping between like the different characters, like, so they're showing Chibs and the other guy, we can't think of his name. And then they show Nero and Wendy and the kids, and they, you know, they show the cop, and they show Unser and Gemma being bagged up. And
you know, he was a character I really liked that I felt like he got underserved as it went on, Unser.
Yeah, I think they didn't know what to do with him towards the end. Like,
the guy was such a natural in that role. Like, he felt like a real dude, you know. Yeah. Like, Gemma was good. Like, that show is a show not without its merits. It has some merit to it, but like, I think it really showed why a lot of people said that Kurt Sutter was like the worst writer on Sons of Anarchy. He would come up with the most sick and twisted and fucked up shit. And, like, you could see how he brought that to this, too. But this show is all excess of that, like, as opposed to, like, The Shield also had some really tight, there's tight plots in this, too, but they're, like, almost confusing.
Oh, yeah. There's so many characters.
And he wanted, like, it makes, well, Walking Dead has gone right over this cliff. But it made the mistake of going on too long. It was, like, you can feel by like season four, like this should have started wrapping up, and they somehow sucked three more seasons out of it. Like,
what? It's like, all right, so you went on too long. You had an out in season six. Like, you had Jax doing the right thing. You could have ended on like a happy note, like maybe not happy, but like he did the right thing for his kids. He did the right thing for his club. You know, Tara gets to keep the kids, and instead, like, you do this crazy twist.
She gets an ice pick to the head.
Yeah. And then, like, you spend the next season chasing, like, Jack's chasing his tail around in an angry rage. And it's like, I mean, he's really good in that role, too, I think. Like, I thought he was really strong there, but
he is pretty good, but I don't know what it was. I can't remember exactly. I started to hate him by the end, too. Like, it's just, I remember a complaint I had when I was watching the show the first time is everyone on that show was so unlikable, and the show was so grim. Like, The Shield was grim But even like Mackey, as flawed as a character he was, and as like as fucked up as some of the things he did, you still liked Mackey at the end of the day. Like, there's part of you that wanted to see him succeed. Because right. He was taking bad people off the streets. Yeah, he was going outside of the law. And yeah, he was doing super corrupt shit and helping himself out. But he also cared about his friends until he turned on them.
Well, and that's why it felt like such a waste, because they could have had this redemption arc for Jax. You know, he is a bad person, and that's where this show ends, like him realizing that he's a bad person and killing himself in the process. But they could have had this.
It's overwrought, though. Like, yeah. that
well, it could have been like
him holding his arms out. Come on.
Yeah. It was stupid, but it could have been like, hey, you know, you're a bad person, but you've done the right thing. You got your club out of being criminals. Like, you backed off of that. You have, you know, you've made sure that your kids are safe. You made sure Tara's safe, and you're gonna go to jail. You're gonna serve your time. Like, it could have been more realistic, as opposed to like, let's have this fairy tale ending of him like riding off into the sunset. And I don't know. It's another thing that I was just like, whatever. I'm glad I'm done with it. I can delete it off of my queue. And
that show was just one of my most mixed feelings shows ever. Like I said, there's things I like about it, but boy, there's things I didn't like.
Yeah. So you saw something else, though.
Yeah, another recent film I just watched tonight called Wind River, which...
This is on my Redbox list, so...
You should definitely be there. It's... I'll use the Wikipedia description of it. It's a 2017 American neo-Western murder mystery thriller film.
That's a mouthful.
I mean, that's accurate. It feels like a Western, which, as we've kind of noted on here, I think I really have a thing for now. But just like anything in the crime genre, that's kind of my jam, right? And this is definitely right up that alley. It's written and directed by Taylor Sheridan, who was the writer of Sicario as well as Hell or High Water.
Okay.
So like that gives you a real good idea of the genre you're in and the quality. Like, this movie's fucking awesome. Jeremy Renner plays like this tracker guy who discovers a dead body frozen in the snow. And it's like on this like Indian reservation in fucking Wyoming, where it's like, you know, not uncommon for it to be like a high of negative, like below zero. Elizabeth Olsen plays an FBI agent who comes out to like investigate the case, and she ends up using him for reasons. Like, they can't get enough people out there, and since he's like this guy, he basically like protects herds of sheep by shooting wolves and stuff. Like, he's real good at like tracking and hunting down predators is basically what his job is.
Okay.
So she kind of starts using him to help figure out like where the person is that like killed this girl who they found frozen in the snow. And he has his own personal reasons too. Like, he wants to help out, and he wants to find the person that killed this girl. But he does not want this person going to jail. He wants to kill them. And reason being, I don't want to spoil too much, but like, she's someone he knows, this girl that he found dead.
Okay.
It's also kind of slow, and I don't know, man, just a theme going on with me lately. Kind of like Brawl and Cell Block 99. It's slow. It's kind of talky. The dialogue in this movie is fucking fantastic. I was quoting it on Twitter throughout, so I guess I could give you an example if I pull it up here. But it's just really cool lines, I think, if my Twitter ever loads, which it won't. But anyways, here we go. Like, one of the lines is, "Suffering's hard on young men. They don't have our practice." Or, "Luck don't live out here. Luck lives in the city." Just, like, really cool, like, kind of stark dialogue. Like, I don't know, like, manly shit or whatever.
Yeah.
And it kind of builds to this climax that, like, you know, it's a slow, kind of quiet movie, kind of like kind of heavy and depressing movie. With subject matter, way Native Americans are treated and stuff, like some, you know, heavy, dark stuff, right? And then it kind of explodes into violence, like just once again, just explodes into crazy violence. It's not like ultra gory or anything. Think more like Quentin Tarantino, which I guess some people would describe as gory, but you know, I'm thinking like what do they call those, squib packs or whatever, where someone gets shot and just blood is just flying out of the fucking head.
Kind of sprays out.
Yeah. Like just so it's not like gory. It's not like in fucking Brawl and Cell Block 99, I'm talking about you're getting people's like faces scraped off and shit, and you see like their skull. Like this is not like that. It's just like people getting shot and crazy fucking red mist coming out of them, and like it just it's actually I think Tarantino is very apt like comparison, and like if you think of his films, there's parts where they kind of like explode into violence very suddenly and abruptly, and the violence is almost shocking because of how sudden and abrupt it is. And that is exactly how it is described Wind River. It's got a hell of an ending, I'd say. Like beyond just the violence, it has like a very good payoff. It's like a very satisfying comeuppance for the bad guys, I guess, in this. This is another like really kick-ass, one of the best of the year like movies. I'm trying to think of one other thing. One other thing I did want to say about it. I was like reading about it after I watched it. It was released in theaters in August. I want to say by the Weinstein Company. And Taylor Sheridan, the director, somehow fought to get the rights back from the Weinstein Company. And so it's no longer... Weinstein has been scrubbed from it altogether. And all profits from, I guess, here forward on it are going towards helping Native American women. So support this movie, I say.
Yeah, definitely seems like that's a great thing for them to.
Because, I mean, the movie was a big part of it is about how Native Americans and specifically Native American women are treated. And so Taylor Sheridan was not cool with any of the Harvey Weinstein shit after it came out. So he got it back. He's donating proceeds to charity. I mean, this movie's worth your money to begin with, but watch it. It's another five. I'm not just in a giving mood this week. I do think that both the movies I saw are really among the best of the year. Well worth watch. Chris, did you ever get to see Hell or High Water?
No, I did not. That's the they're robbing
banks. Robin Banks, right? Yeah. That's, I mean, fuck, dude. Put these both on your list. This guy can write dialogue like a motherfucker, man. Like, anyone that wants to like learn how to write like really cool genre dialogue should watch Hell or High Water and Wind River. Amazing. Just all around, this thing is good. Like, it's a great looking film. The music is by Nick Cave, who is great at doing westerns. Like, like it looks like, you know, Fargo or something, like one of these awesome like crime movies set in the snow, or Simple Plan or something. Like, it is right up my alley to begin with, but it's another one I will wholeheartedly recommend to friends and such. So, yeah, I've ranted about it enough. Yeah, watch this movie. Did you get to see anything else lately, Chris? I know we've had like a little 2-week break. I don't know if there's anything minor you wanted to throw out there. Did you start Stranger Things? Anything?
No, else? I will be starting Stranger Things. I recently bought a 4K TV though.
Nice.
And friends were over and we're like, hey, like, you know, Netflix, Amazon, they stream in 4K. So they kind of wanted to see it in action. I don't know how we ended up on it because it is not a showpiece for 4K, but we rewatched Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
That's how you show off that new tech.
Right? Yeah. I have not seen that movie in a long time. It is still really fucking, it's stupid funny, like absurdist to a point. And I ended up laughing throughout that entire thing. So yeah, that's still a like, if you are okay throwing some shade at NASCAR, at like that kind of macho bullshit fandom that some people, you know, that follow NASCAR have, it does a great job at that.
You know what? It's like, I have a coworker who, like, he loves NASCAR. He wears a NASCAR jacket to work.
Wow.
That's like signed and shit. But like, I think he likes that movie too, even. So that's, even though he knows it's making fun of him, but
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it is. It's, but it's not done in like a malicious way. It's just like, this is really stupid. Like, fandom in general is kind of dumb. And also, like, these people, like, literally just drive around in a circle.
Yeah, NASCAR is an easy target.
Yeah.
But it's also in that whole vein of all the Will Ferrell, like he did like semi-pro and
Yeah, he was on a streak there for a while where he was kind of like, he did the ice skating one.
yeah, there's like a bunch of
Played some other,
sports
yeah.
related ones. Then there was like what Stepsons was it called or Stepbrothers?
Stepbrothers, yeah.
That one I thought was really funny. The one he did with Wahlberg was great too. Was it called The Other Guys or whatever?
Yeah, the other guys.
That one might have been one of my favorites. Talladega didn't hit for me. It's another one. That's like one of those comedies that everyone loves, and I was just like, I don't get it. Like, I'm trying to think of the other one. It's called Walk the Line with Riley, John C. Riley. Walk the
Okay.
Line. Is that what it's called? Like the one where the Johnny Cash
Yeah, I think
like
that's it.
thing? Yeah, like everyone thought that thing was so fucking hilarious. I was like, I don't know. I get it, but. I'm not the best person to talk to when it comes to such comedy stuff.
I mean, it they're very
It's
you def
subjective.
yeah you, and you definitely need to have like a taste for like the absurd
Yeah,
of
like
that, like,
I like more like shit like The Big Sick, where it's like sincere and heartfelt and also funny or whatever, you know.
this is like, this is almost like Airplane, like to a point of like almost being like kind of Mel Brooksy, like it's absurdist satire to a point.
Did you ever get to see The Big Sick?
I did. That was, I liked that a lot. That was a really good movie.
Did I can't even remember if we like I know I reviewed it. I can't remember if you talked about it on here.
I don't think I did. It was really good.
Yeah, dude, like
Really
and
strong movie.
how about what was it, Holly Hunter and
Ray Romano.
Yeah, how about like those two?
Yeah,
I think
they were both
they
excellent.
were so that I need to watch it again. As for me, I guess one other thing I would like to mention before we wrap up is I got to see Annabelle Creation, which I know you did review on here. I remember, now correct me if I'm wrong, I remember you being kind of down the middle on it. Like it was a fine horror movie, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Yeah.
I thought it was okay. Well, I guess I want to say I think it was a little better than okay.
Okay.
I think that the movie itself, like the story is dumb, like really dumb. Like, hey, all this really terrible shit has happened in our house, and now we're gonna open it to little girls to come live here. Like,
Right.
what were you thinking? And then they try to explain it away with like a throwaway line about how, oh, well, we figured we would be doing penance to like open our home up to, you know, and help these girls. And it's like, dude, don't invite like innocent children into your home. Where that is like a hellhole where like horrible night visions are going to happen. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
All that said, I thought some of the scares, and this is like The Conjuring. It's a pretty bloodless movie where like I don't even know, not that many. I think maybe one person dies in it or whatever. But like, God, man, some of the stuff in it was terrifying. Like, especially I don't know if you remember the scarecrow scene where they're like. They're just like sitting in a car with their headlights on, and they're like looking at the scarecrow that's just like sitting there, and all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, it's gone." And then, like, they go inside the barn, and the scarecrow's there, and it starts to come up to life, and the demon starts to come out of it.
Terrifying.
Like absolutely 100% effective. One of the best scares of the year, I thought. Like, it was as scary as anything in It, I thought. So, I was actually pretty surprised by Animal Creation. I didn't have a lot of interest in it going in, but it was actually, like I said, it's dumb. Like, I thought the story itself was dumb, but the individual scare scenes in it, I thought, were like pretty top notch, especially for being like bloodless and, you know, not gory or anything. It's just like super creepy and scary. I'd say it's like at least worth a rental for people. I never saw the other one, but
That one was worse.
I'd probably still give it like a, you know what? I would probably give it a 4 for its craft. Like I said, like, it's dumb. It's dumb as shit. Like, I'm sorry. There's no amount of explaining why these people would do that, what they did. But on a craft level, like, in terms of, like, you know, pulling, you know, scares out of its bag of tricks, I thought they did a pretty decent job on that front. I guess one last thing is Stranger Things. I am not done with it yet. I am at episode 7, which is the episode everyone says is terrible.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet, so I can't tell you whether I think it's terrible. But I'm starting to wonder about this show. I think that a lot of why I liked the first season was it was pressing, like, nostalgia buttons and stuff like that. Like, kind of just, like, delivering things like, hey, you liked the 80s, right? Like, you like synth music and, you know, Steven Spielberg and Stephen King. And, like, here you go. Here's this shit. But, like, when I stopped to think about even, like, the first season, I'm like, I don't know. The scares aren't really there, you know? Like, it's not a super scary show. It doesn't deliver gore, really. You're mostly along the ride for, like, the 80s nostalgia, and you like the characters. And I think that season 2 has kind of put that in focus for me. Like, where I was like, do you really think this show is as good as, like, you know, all the success it's gotten and, like, all the hype ones? Like, I don't know. I think it's mostly just, like, I dig the fucking opening theme, really. And, like, I like the characters. I like David Harbour as the cop, and like, I like the kids. But, like, everything that's happening in the story, I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's okay, but, like, there's no real shocks or huge twists or turns. Like, it all feels of a mold, like a cookie cutter, you know? Like, it's just, yeah, here's your 80s shit, you know? I'm sounding, like, really mean about it, but it's like I'm kind of enjoying it, but I'm also not blown away by anything, so.
Yeah. And how many episodes is this season?
I want to say it's 9.
Okay.
So 9 or 10. So I have
only like one or so more than.
Yeah, after this. Like, 7, I guess, is like the standalone episode where kind of focuses on 11 and it's like separated from the rest of the story, kind of. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't speak to that. I have seen people say that they really love episode 7, but, like, I'd say a good majority of people, like, really rip on that episode. There's other episodes too where nothing fucking happens, like almost like the first 4 or 5 episodes ain't shit happening, really.
Yeah, I do think that they should have, I mean, not that you had their ear or anything, but I liked your idea of kind of having like an anthology type series. Like, it's still set in the 80s, but, you know, this time we're not going to we're going to change the cast. We're going to change location.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something else. Stranger Things. But, like, maybe this time we explore, like, you know, Poltergeist or
yeah,
you know, something, you know, similar like that, as opposed to trying to continue and recapture something.
Yeah. It's just like they're chasing whatever they did in season 1. And even, like I said, looking back on season 1, it's like, what you did is admirable, but now we've seen that trick.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen, yeah. So do something. Yeah. Like, just do another 80s vibe thing and maybe, like, tangentially, like, connect it, like, kind of how, like, they do with Fargo, where Every season is its own complete story with its own cast, but there are tiny little ties between the seasons, like, to let you know it's the same universe and shit like that. But
right.
I don't know. I'm not done with it, so, like, I don't want to, like, come down one way too hard or another, but, like, it's kind of straight up the middle for me. Like, I'm like, yeah, like, there's things I really love, and that's why I'm watching it, but it's also not super exciting to me. As for next week, Chris, I don't know when we'll be able to record, so we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I kind of want to make it after Thanksgiving at some point, because I will have seen the latest Pixar film, Coco.
Yeah, I'm going on Thanksgiving to see Coco, so
I'm going to try to go on, hopefully, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. So, yeah, we should reconvene and get an episode out, but, you know, we'll do a different recording time or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like really psyched for Coco. I think it looks awesome. Does it seem like it's getting the hype that Pixar movies usually get?
Yeah, but I haven't heard a whole lot. Like, normally I'm like being bombarded by TV commercials and stuff, but I don't.
Like, even like, you know, like the critic, like, you know, film Twitter is not like a buzz with it. And I don't know why, because it looks like, to me, when I saw the trailer, I'm like, I can't wait to see that. That looks so good. It looks like just as good as any other good Pixar movie. So,
yeah.
I will have seen that for next episode, as well as a horror movie that no one's really talking about called Wish Upon.
Okay.
I know
that one. It's about a little box.
Something like that. Like, grants you wishes or some bullshit. I have not really heard people talk about it. We'll see what I have to say. It's PG-13.
I may see Justice League as well. May.
Sucker for... Yep. Glutton for punishment.
I kind of want to see The Murder on the Orient Express. I did not get out to see it last week.
I don't know what it is. Like, that trailer never did it for me. I don't know. My girlfriend was, like, nudging me at the theater when we saw a trailer for that. Like, oh, yeah, let's go. And I was like, I don't know.
I like a good murder mystery, so. And that cast is pretty phenomenal, so. I've heard it's okay. Like, visually, it's really great, but, we'll see. We'll see if I get out to it.
Yeah, and I'll see Coco, I'll see Wish Upon, and I'll see whatever Netflix sends me next, which I'm guessing could be a bunch of things. So I'll have surprises for you. We'll have good stuff.
All right.
Hopefully Coco is great. So come back next time.
Movie dudes.